Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the church.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to Why I Believe. I'm Rick Starr. My guest today is Clyde Bodden here in Mesa, Arizona, who is a musician and also a real estate, what would you call yourself, Clyde? Real estate broker?
Jack
banker?
Of all, master of none.
Real estate expert.
I'd say I'm a land expert.
Okay.
In real estate in Arizona. That's kind of where I've made my living from.
Yeah. So. Well, I've known you for many years because 25 years ago or so, you were a musician in a studio where I was an engineer and recorded some beautiful piano stuff there. You're a composer.
Oh, thank you.
And really do some beautiful music. So glad to have you here on Why I Believe today.
It's my pleasure to be with you. It's good to see you again.
And I'm excited to talk about some of the things that you've done with your music related to sharing the gospel and that kind of thing. So we'll get into that in just a little bit.
Let's
introduce you to our listeners. You're originally from Utah, is that correct?
Yes, born and raised in Provo and then moved to California for a time.
Uh-huh.
And then my father, who was in education, moved us back to Provo, Orem area again. Stayed there for a couple of years and then moved down to Price, Utah, where I spent quite a number of years and was there really through the time that I left on my mission and whatnot. Mm. So, good old Carbon County. Love those people.
Yeah.
Good people.
Where did you go on your mission, Clyde?
I went to the what was then the Kansas-Missouri mission.
Mm.
And then it was shrunk down and made into the Missouri Independence Mission about halfway through my mission. So, mm-hmm. Had a couple different mission presidents and had a wonderful experience, all of which really shaped me in a lot of ways, really significantly. So,
yeah.
Good stuff.
That's great. Of course, born and raised in the church. Is
yes.
Implied. And,
yes.
Brothers and sisters, how many?
Have three brothers and one sister.
Uh-huh.
And all of which live here except for my sister who lives in Delta.
Really?
Yeah.
They all ended up here in Arizona?
They all moved down here. Actually, kind of an interesting story. When I left Price in 1989,
uh-huh.
I was basically joining Dr. Deaton to pioneer his company down here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
That's what moved me down here. And my partner was my brother Reese and Dr. Dennis Deaton.
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved down here, and then it seemed like the whole family just fell in love with the sunshine as they'd come down here and visit and whatnot. So they all joined us, over the years. They've kind of gradually moved down. So
yeah,
it's been great.
Well, I remember you long ago coming in to record some beautiful piano music, and your piano music was very, very touching, very filled
Thank
with
you.
The Spirit.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what goes into your music, what you're striving for.
Well, I think back over the years and had several periods of my life where I've kind of gone through, reinventing myself, if you will, and
mm-hmm.
and trying to, really create and decide who I wanted to be in the world. And I would say that really... the most impactful period of time that I went through was in the 90s when I was going through a fairly difficult time in my life. And what came out of that was, just like always, we have great things that come out of our suffering and the things that we go through. And what came out of that experience was I decided to reinvent myself as being a composer of music and lives. And who I wanted to be was someone that when I played, people would be moved. And that when I speak, people would be motivated and elevated to a higher place in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that little creation, if you will, has served me, I would say, very well in my life. Because when I sit down to play the piano, I bring that commitment, that the real intent of what I'm about in that moment is to elevate people to a higher place. And so that's the commitment I bring as I sit down, and that has been just a beautiful thing. I started shortly thereafter doing some work in all the schools in Mesa, and I'd go around, and it's kind of my version of the a solo musician, spoken word, and music and the spoken word, if you will. And because I would go in and I would, really help the kids. I spent a lot of time in the elementary schools. I got a sponsor, and I went all over the state playing for these schools, and I would, I would teach them how to really set goals and achieve them. And because it was kind of my mindset, having worked with Dr. Deaton and whatnot.
I
had that background, that human development background. And so I would teach them about goal setting and the power of their mind, the power of thought, the power of, seeing their creations before they're created, that they could do or be whatsoever they will, that it just was really up to them to take responsibility and to decide who they wanted to be. Mm-hmm. In their life, and then go after it. And so I was kind of a combination of music and the spoken word, if you will. And so I would play inspirational themes, and I'd get these kids to close their eyes. We'd set this amazing concert setting up. It didn't matter if it was in the library or the gymnasium. We'd dim the lights, and I had this sponsor bring this magnificent instrument, 9-foot concert grand. Wow. And we'd set it in these schools, and then we'd create lighting and whatnot. So we'd create the listening, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I would have those kids just absolutely mesmerized by what I was doing. And by the end of the experience, I just had kids that just believed they could do anything. And they wanted to play the piano, and they wanted to be astronauts, and they wanted to be football stars, and they wanted to be dancers and whatever. But it didn't matter. It just mattered that we elevated them. I think it was the prophet Joseph Smith that said it so well. It's kind of what I've tried to live by. He said, "You can never elevate another person without elevating yourself." And so in the process, the greatest beneficiary of this whole thing was Clyde Bodden. Because in the process of lifting those kids, I was lifting me out of my pain and suffering. Mm. And it was a marvelous experience. I have trunks full of letters from kids that would write me the sweetest letters and tell me that, what I did for them was life-changing. And that was just so gratifying to me. It really brought some real purpose and depth to my music, and it made me play with greater intensity and passion and purpose. So all of that was a really life-changing experience for me to be a part of that. Hmm.
So your intent, as I'm hearing you, it wasn't to become a big star or anything like that. Your intent was to edify, to lift people up.
Yeah, absolutely. I just truly believe, as a principle, that if you help enough people get what they want, you'll always have what you want. Hmm. And so it wasn't about Clyde Bodden. It was about what could I do for them. And in that process, it was just amazing the growth that we all experienced. Because when you come from contribution, compassion, selfless service, the universe aligns and great things happen. Mm-hmm. It's when you have to have something. If you have to have stardom, I suppose you'll never be a star. But when you can give up just saying, "I just want to make a difference," then there's no expectation, only that you make a difference.
Yeah.
And it's served me so well because, I've never been let down.
Mm, that's great.
So
what kind of things have you gone on to do in music with that?
Gosh, I've done so many things.
Going to the schools.
I always it's interesting to see the metamorphosis of my life and kind of the different little paths that it's taken here and there and whatnot. I always kind of saw myself, it was somewhat limiting that, I always saw myself as a solo inspirational theme writer, you couldn't talk me into accompanying anyone anywhere. I had no interest in it. In fact, it's interesting in that light, it was, later on, probably about the year, I think maybe 2007-08, when I started the Reflections Project that did so well in the church and moved so many people.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about the Reflections
of Christ.
And many photos. Mark Mabry, who was interviewed also on this program.
Oh, great.
And then if you go to the website, of course, it talks about the music that you've contributed to that project.
Yeah.
There's some interviews of you, I believe, on there as well.
Yes.
So please go on. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's great. In fact, that's one of the funny examples. That's why I guess I kind of naturally jumped to that project, because it was, such a life-changing experience for me in so many ways. When Mark came to me, he said, "Clyde, I want this. We're doing this project, and I want you to be part of it. I want you to kind of be the heart and soul of the music of it." And a lot of the listeners probably don't know that Mark Mabry is my son-in-law. That's how I got the job. He just had to be nice to me. But before Mark was my son-in-law, I will say that he was a big fan of mine.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
He lived about a block away from where I lived, and he spent many Sundays in his youth underneath my grand piano and just say, "Clyde, play for me." And he just loved it. He was just totally taken by the music that I was blessed to receive. And so when he came to me, he said, "There'll be a chance for you to do some of your themes, your theme writing, your inspirational themes." But he says, "I want you to do some music with some other people too. I want you to do some arrangements." And I want you to accompany some great voices like Freddie Ashby and some of the others, Alex Foyer and these guys. And I have to tell you, I put up a lot of resistance because it's just not who I wanted to be. I wanted to be a part of the project, but I didn't want to do arrangements for people to, to sing to. But reluctantly I agreed to do it. I'm trying to be a man of my word, so I launched into it with an open mind. And I shudder to think where I'd be at today if I hadn't have done that. Because 90% of what I do today is arrangements with music or whatnot, or original pieces that I compose and write, but almost always with someone singing.
Do you write lyrics now also?
No, you don't want to sing anything I would write. But I have people that are much more talented than I at that. So I'm very very thankful that I practiced what I taught those little kids to do, and that is to to stay in a state of creativity and stay in a place of reinventing yourself and seeing, looking around you and seeing places where you can go and do great things. And in doing that, it has taken me so many places. It's just amazing. So, maybe there's something there for your listeners to get out of that.
Oh, that's great. Our guest today here in Mesa, Arizona is Clyde Bodden, who's a musician. And you were just talking about some of the places that music has taken you. You've recently had the opportunity to share your music in other parts of the world that maybe you never even thought would ever happen, with people you never imagined. Talk a little bit about that. Share that with our audience.
Well, Reflections of Christ in and of itself took us all over the country and Canada. It was truly an amazing thing to see the effects of that project on people. I mean, just to give you an example of where it took us was we went into Baton Rouge, Louisiana, down in the Bible Belt and the heartland of, you know, Christianity, and just great, wonderful people that live there. And, you know, we took Reflections of Christ, which is in and of itself just, you know, basically, you know, a photographic exhibit portraying the life of Jesus Christ through pictures. And then Mark wanted some really raw, organic kind of sounding music, something very out of the box that you know, the church hadn't heard or anything. We wanted it to be different and spontaneous and whatnot. And so we came up with this music, and there's just some amazing songs on there. Not because I have any part of it. Certainly not what I'm saying, but there's just some amazing people that were on that album. Mm-hmm. And they just responded to us in, you know, everywhere we went. But this one place in particular was just amazing. I mean, here was Reflections of Christ, you know, and it's fair to say that a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters don't even believe we're Christians. But we had Reflections of Christ in one of the biggest churches in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a big mega Christian church. Mm. And you just had to have been there to see how cool that was. I mean, we were treated like royalty. Our missionaries were in there taking their people through this little exhibit. Mm-hmm. that you know, if you've not had the chance to go through that exhibit, if it comes to your city, you need to. It's life-changing. I mean, it's just a peaceful serenity that is just so unique and so cool. And people would go in that little exhibit, come out the other end, and they'd be crying and wiping away tears and just thank us from the bottom of their heart. This one church was so caught up in the spirit of this thing that when they heard Alex Boyer and Freddie Ashby and I doing a sound check for a fireside that night we were doing, they all started coming into the room, and it was just, they just connected with us. Hmm. And then they wanted us to come do a concert in their church for their people. Hmm. And we did. And so those are kind of some of the things that just, you know, bridge gaps and help create understandings and unity and love. And there was no doubt in any of their minds when we left that we loved the Savior just as much as any of them. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a beautiful thing. And then we kind of went from Reflections of Christ, we did another Testament of Christ, which was the story of the, you know, the Book of Mormon and its role and whatnot, and that had the same kind of effect.
So when you take this exhibit on tour, it sounds like you had the missionaries involved in every location. Is that
it? Oh yeah, it was always usually. I mean, it got to where we couldn't do an event unless it was sponsored by a stake, because there's so many people that wanted it. Hmm. And so it would always be driven by a stake, and then coordinated with the missionary department. And they'd have the missionaries actually staff the exhibit and take the people through and whatnot. And then we would typically show up and do a fireside, mm-hmm. you know, on one of the weekends with it, where we'd show up, and it was just marvelous to see the effects of that.
Was your music playing in the exhibit in the background? Is that how it worked?
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of how it all happened. And in fact, that's one of the things a great segue into kind of some of the other places that's taken me that has led me even where I'm at today. So Mark Mabry and I go to a local concert here at Mesa Arts Center one night, and there was a young man. Well, he's not that young. He likes to think he's young, but he's not that young. Alex Boyer. But he was on that stage performing, and Mark and I were sitting next to each other. I had never heard of Alex, didn't know anything about him. And this is right at the time that we're launching Reflections. We had 5 songs on the album done, and we were kind of looking, where do we go from here? We want to get some, you know, cool creativity going on this thing, uh-huh. and whatnot. And so we're sitting there in the the audience watching this guy, and he is an entertaining extraordinaire. I mean, the guy is dancing, the guy is singing, he's just getting it done, you know?
Yeah, he was on Why, I believe.
Okay, I'm sure and you've had, Alex.
Oh, yeah, just very entertaining. Even on radio, he's very entertaining.
Well, and he's not just an entertainer, he is an amazing spiritual man that has a great work to do for our Father in Heaven, mm-hmm. and a dear friend of mine now. But I didn't know him then. Sitting there in the audience, and Mark and I look at each other, we have got to get this guy on our album. And so after the show, we go and have the opportunity of meeting him, introduce ourselves, and he has no idea who we are. We start telling him about this exhibit we're doing that's down at the temple grounds, and at this time, it just so happened that it was received so well. I mean, they had people lined up for blocks for like a week straight, just, you know, out the doors trying to get in to see this little exhibit. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. But we talked Alex into coming the next day, and we just said, come and go through this, and if you're inclined or moved upon, we'd love to have you do something with us. And he was gracious enough to do just that. So Mark, the next morning, gets up and goes and picks him up from his hotel because he didn't even have a car. And he brings him over to the temple grounds there. And we just sent him through the exhibit. And then we went to the other end. And as he came out, there was tears in his eyes. And he could hardly even speak. He says, this is what prophets have prophesied of, that there will be people, artists, painters, musicians that'll rise up and will tell the story of the gospel through these things. And you guys are doing that. I would love to be a part of it. He was so moved. And we, within about 30 days, we had Alex in the studio, and we didn't even know what we were going to do. We just sent into this little studio of Jason Barney's Talmadge Studios, and Jason is just amazing. We get in the room, we say a prayer, and we look at some hymns that we could do, and came up with one. And I would say this is literally how it happened. Probably within 3 hours, we had two more songs cut for the album. They were effortless. It was an amazing thing. It for some reason was important to Heavenly Father, and he just, you know, endowed us with this blessing of having us work together beautifully and seamlessly, and we just came up with some amazing, one of which was I Know My Redeemer Lives, and it turned out amazing. It was a duet with Freddie and mm-hmm. and Alex, and there were other songs. But from that, there, you know, of course, we did another testament. We just recently, just last week, announced that we're going to do the story of the restoration. So Mark Mabry is going to do the third in the series about the restoration of the gospel.
So yes. That's great. It's interesting, as we were talking a little bit earlier in this interview about the adversity in your life.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how that has led to so many opportunities.
Yes.
In your life.
Yes.
And you know, I've seen the same in my life, and I'm sure many of the listeners,
you know, most
in
people
this program
have
experienced that as well.
Yeah, it's all individual and it's all unique, isn't it?
Yeah,
uniquely ours.
Why don't you, if you don't mind, we just have a few minutes left
okay.
here on Why I Believe, but if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about how a person can take something that's been a trouble or an adversity in their life,
and, yeah, thank you,
and how they can turn to the Lord and
and
make that an experience that.
You know, when you consider that, you know, the scriptures say it so well, even about the Savior himself, it says something to the effect, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now you take that perspective and you plug it into your life. You know, what does it mean? How do you apply it? Principles, you know, are always precede practices. purposes supersede methods. Why we do something is as important as what we do always. And if you were to bring that thinking into any adversity that you're faced with, and realize that it doesn't really matter what happens to you. It matters what you do with what happens to you. It matters how you respond to what happens to you. And unfortunately, you know, some of the ways that we respond, typically, they don't serve us well. They aren't useful to us. But if you could create a realization or a pattern in your life of just saying, you know, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to go through, it's for my benefit, it's for my growth, and it's for me to elevate myself and make more of me, because ultimately that's all he's interested in anyway, is you know, who we become in this process of life. You know, it's all about being, in my mind. You know, it's all about growth. It's all about, you know, where we're headed, not where we're at. And so if you can just consider that, that really all he's interested in is that, it brings a really unique and different perspective to our suffering. Not to minimize anyone's suffering. I've been through hard things. But everything that I've ever been through that is hard has made me realize that I can do hard things. And that I can come out the other end and be okay. And that's what I think he wants us to learn. And what a great thing that is. What a great blessing that is in our lives to know, you know, gain that perspective and know that he is there to help us and lift us and inspire us. He's saying, come, grab on, I'll bring you up, you know, and we can do it. And so it doesn't matter what happens to us, it matters what we do with what happens to us.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
It's something that we can all learn from and remember, because we've all signed up for that.
Yeah,
in essence.
We kind of all did.
Some difficult times in our lives.
Yeah.
Well, as we close out, Why I Believe, if you wouldn't mind just sharing some of your thoughts on the Savior and the Atonement and the Gospel, the role the Gospel has played in your life.
I just, you know, early on in my youth as a young missionary, I remember sitting in Liberty Jail where the prophet spent time and got some of what I consider to be some of the greatest scripture of our time from sections 121 through 123. And it was there that I realized just how much I loved the Savior. I'd sit in that little jail many times at night. Everybody would be gone. I could be there with just my companion. And I'd go down into that jail and sit there and just imagine, you know, what that was like. And I developed a very powerful testimony of the Gospel and of the Savior and his love for each of us. And the part that he plays in each of our lives, if we let him. And I just have a profound love and appreciation for the Gospel, for what it is. I cannot imagine my life without the teachings of Christ in my life. I can't even imagine it. I mean, it's the defining piece of my life that gives me direction and hope and strength and conviction. It's what drives me. So I just have a deep love for it, and just love my Savior and what he has done for me more than anything in my life.
Well, Clyde Bodden, thank you so much for being here on Why I Believe with us today.
Thank you.
Sharing your insight.
Thank you, Rick.
You've been listening to Why I Believe on the Mormon channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more information on this program and other programs on the Mormon channel, please visit mormonchannel.org. Thanks for listening and have a great day.